So we are in Proverbs, and if you have just joined us, or as a reminder, we have taken words that are repeated frequently in Proverbs, and we're talking about one of them each week, which has been kind of a fun thing to go through. And this morning's word is earth. And there were a lot of ways to go with earth. I'm cheating a little bit. Not really. I'm not necessarily talking about the earth, but things about the earth in a weird way. You'll find out. Before we get to earth, though, I want to talk about another word, which is an important word for this morning, and it's tremble. Tremble. Not one we throw around a lot, but it is a feeling or emotion that we have fairly frequently, starting when we're little kids. And there's different reasons we can tremble, but one I like to think of when we're a little kid is we tremble at injustice. We tremble at something not going the way we think it's supposed to go. And this is exemplified in the little kid when you say you have to share the toy. The little kid literally trembles, just, and then they start crying, and it's this tremble of anger, of, that is not right. I had the toy first. There is no reason I should have to give up this toy to this little putz who's been bugging me the whole time. And I was holding my own, and suddenly my mother has come in here and interfering and making me give. It's just everything about it bugs us. We just tremble. And I don't know what you think of the Trayvon Martin case. We don't need to go into that, but you saw an example of adults trembling at injustice, perceived injustice, maybe in your mind. Injustice, though. And some were literally, this is not how the world is supposed to work. This is not right. And so we just tremble at this. Now, with that in mind, this is what Solomon says. And technically, we don't know who wrote this. Agur wrote it. I'm going to go with Solomon. There's different opinions on who Agur was. Maybe Solomon's pseudonym. Maybe a guy. Regardless, I'm saying, Solomon, you're responsible for this being in your book of Proverbs. Let's go with you. But here's what the person said. Under three things, the earth trembles. Under four, it cannot bear up. A servant who becomes king. A godless fool who gets plenty to eat, a contemptible woman who gets married, and a servant who displaces her mistress. So, if we're looking at the word tremble, and again, as you read this easily, this tremble of injustice, this tremble of this is not the way things are supposed to work makes sense. And Solomon says the earth does this, which is metaphorical language, poetic language, but we get this. We look at this and we say, servants are not supposed to become kings. That's just not the way things work. Godless fools are not supposed to get plenty to eat. That is not right. Contemptible woman, not a phrase we throw around a lot. We know what it means. Contemptible woman who gets married. I mean, she deserves, no, that's not the way it's supposed to work. I was this way for a certain reason. I should be better off than she was. It's not supposed to work this way. Servants who displace her mistresses. Again, this idea of servants down here coming up into the hierarchy of mistresses. And if you read this with the idea of tremble at injustice, then this affects a lot of things. We can read this and it affects a lot of the ways we view the world. It affects our view of politics. Affects our views of giving, affects our views of ourselves, our pride. I mean, this goes everywhere. This is not how things are supposed to work. And this affects how you feel depending on who you are. If you're a king, this affects you in a very different way. I am a king. Servants do not become kings. I am married because I did this the right way. Contemptible women don't get to where I'm at. I'm eating because I have done certain things. Godless fools, no. Now, if we're the other side of this, It affects how we feel in a very different way. I'm a servant. I'll never be king. I'll never get there. Godless fool. I mean, I don't deserve to eat. That's not the way the world works. I just don't deserve that. Contemptible woman. I'm her. You know, I've made those mistakes. I'll never get to that point. Or a different kind of servant. I'm stuck in this place. I'll never get there because that's not the way the world works. Now, upon my first reading of this and looking at it that way, I didn't like it. And I said, wait a second, Solomon, the guy of no formulas, no hierarchies, no systems, like, this is what you're writing, really? I mean, this is what you've chosen to put. This is all about hierarchies and systems and ladders and places, and I'm here and you're there. It's just filled with this. So I decided to have an interview with Solomon because I was irritated with him, and this is what I do. I sit down and I get into a yoga position and light candles. I'm kidding. I just imagine things. So I said, Solomon, have a seat here. And he sat down like this, and he was very, you know, king. He was very respectful of me, which I appreciated. And I said, Solomon, let's have a talk here, okay? First off, a servant who becomes a king. Now, I mean, I don't want to insult you, but can we talk about your dad for a second? Your dad was not really a servant, but the story goes that Israel needed a king. And so Samuel came to Jesse and said, do you have any sons? And Jesse brought out all of his finest king-like sons. And Samuel went down, this guy's a stud, Russell Crowe here, he looks good, strong, powerful, handsome. No, got to all of them and said, do you have any other sons? And I believe Jesse said something like, well, I mean, we have one more, but this guy's out with the sheep. I mean, you know, surely you don't want David. No, get him. Because God doesn't look at the outward appearances like you do. God looks for different things when God is selecting a king. Now, again, I mean, Solomon, no offense, but I could say your dad was a servant who became a king. And you're saying this isn't right? I mean, you're saying this is not the way things go? Interesting, Ryan. Interesting. Well, let me go on. Godless fools, okay? I mean, I don't know if you know your ancestry, but godless fools seem to be everywhere. I mean, again, no offense, but your lineage is worse than mine. I mean, these guys, liars, deceivers, you have one of your ancestors didn't like his brother, so they threw him into a pit and pretended he was dead. Because they were jealous of the way that his father treated. I mean, this is all of you guys. You are not models of morality and just the way to live in this perfect. In fact, most of the stories are just things not to do. Remember that. Don't do that. And from what I remember, they always ate. From what I remember, they always had plenty of food. And again, not to be, you know, I'm sorry, but you've done some things that are not necessarily, you know, top of the line amorality, okay? Interesting. I don't know why he talks British. He's wise, you know, British people are wise. Contemptible woman. Now, okay, I really want to be careful here. I know men do not like when other people talk about their mothers, but I just got to go here. Your mom, she's out bathing. This is your mother, okay? She's bathing out on a rooftop. I get it. It was a different time. But she's out there where people can see, apparently, which is maybe normal for her. And the king sees her bathing and says, ooh la la, I like. And I'm the king, so come on up to my room. And she does. She also had a husband, by the way, okay? She was already married. And then the king proceeds to kill her husband. I mean, through a sneaky way, again. Godless fools. Sneaky way sends the husband to war where he dies so that your father, who was a servant, who's now king, can marry this woman. Now, again, I don't know how the culture was. I know if the king called a woman, maybe she had to, but it just does not strike me as top-of-the-line, perfect role model woman. But he got a little red, a little angry, but he was okay. It's like, fair enough. And I said, and maybe we could talk about another one of your ancestors, Tamar. Judah had two husbands for her. He needed two because the first one that she married was ungodly, and God apparently took his life. Second one did some things which you can read about. You've heard about it. Spilling his seed. Interesting story right there, Solomon. I don't need to go into that. But anyway, he died as well. So Tamar wanted a husband, and Judah said, well, I have another son I will give you, a third son, eventually. Well, Judah didn't give her the son, so Tamar got a little upset. She dressed up like a prostitute and managed to coerce her father-in-law into sleeping with her in order to have a son of that bloodline, which happens to be yours, by the way. I mean, hey, I don't want to get too crazy here, but contemptible woman gets married. Really, I mean, you're going to say this is not the way the world works? This is your world. Okay. And finally, a servant who displaces her mistress. This seems to be your family fun thing. I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is all over the place, starting with Father Abraham. You know, oh, I'll sleep with the servant. I can't get a kid out here. Sleep with the servant. I mean, it just seems to go on and on. You have how many wives again? What was it? 700. Right, yeah. And how many concubines? 300, right. I mean, who are you? What are you even talking about? Wives and mistresses and servants? I mean, do you even love one of these women? Ryan, this is not what we're talking about. Okay, you're right. I've just always wondered how you can have that many wives. But regardless, really, for you to say this, I mean, Solomon, this is you. This is how you got here. This entire thing right here. If this were not how things happened, you wouldn't even be here. Solomon. Very good, Ryan. Very good. Bravo. But there is a different definition of tremble. And we often get this one confused. We also tremble out of fear. And sometimes we act as though it's injustice, but it's more of a fear that our position, that the way we think things work, actually is not the way things work, and we're very threatened by that. Because what would that mean for us? So what if the earth trembles? If we tremble, not because this isn't the way things work, but because this is the way things work. Oh, great. Well, what does that mean for me? Because suddenly a servant who becomes king, servants do become kings. Godless fools do get plenty to eat. Contemptible women do get married. Servants do displace their mistresses. This changes the way we view everything suddenly. Suddenly now, if I'm a king, I'm the one trembling. Because the fact is, you're a king, and sometimes servants become kings. You're not in this place because you did everything right. You're eating because people eat. Godless fools eat. You're married. I made it. I did everything. And this changes completely the servant. I'm a servant. Yeah, I could be king someday. I might be king. Godless fool. I might eat. Contemptible woman. I might get married. I can do this. In a sense, Solomon flips the tables completely. which is also how we describe what Jesus came along and did. Solomon, in a sense, is highlighting the weakness of the world. See, the world tells us it's the strong who make it. The world tells us it is all about hierarchies and ladders and steps. And Solomon might be saying, hey, the earth is trembling because the earth realizes, oh, I'm not going to win. That may not be how God even works. And you're right, Ryan, I wouldn't be here. And the earth, that freaks out, the earth. How did he doesn't deserve all of these things. He should have never gotten here. Solomon goes on, detailing it a little more. Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Hyraxes are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. A lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in kings' palaces. Ants, hyraxes, locusts, and lizards. These are not high school mascot animals. In fact, I Googled it. I don't think there's one in America that has any of these animals as their mascot. I really did Google it. I could be wrong, but, you know, the Mount Spokane ants. Get ready. The Mead locusts. I mean, what? These are the animals you pick out that are extremely wise. And we often focus on what they do, and we read that and say, oh, we need to do those things, which there is some truth in that. But notice what Solomon says. Ants, they have very little strength. Little strength. Hyraxes, anyone know what these are? I mean, they're little like rabbits that come from the elephant family. I call them like a squirrel without a tail. They're just not very cool animals in any way, really. These little like rodent things. I mean, really, that's the animal? They have little power. So we have little strength, little power. Locusts have no king, no one to lead them. This is very personal for Israel. I mean, we need a king. We need someone to lead us because that's how the world works. And a lizard can be caught with the hand. I mean, we're talking about a susceptible, weak creature. These are not the way the world works. The world says we need lots of strength. You want to be something, you better have strength. The world says you need lots of power. If you want to be somebody, you need power. The world says you need a leader, you need a king, you need someone to guide you and make sure that we're doing everything appropriately and right. The world says you can't be caught in a hand. You got to be strong. You got to be quick. You got to move. You can't be that weak and susceptible. Someone can just grab you. I mean, this is nothing with the way the earth says. And yet, the ants store up their food in the summer. The ants make it. And we read this, well, we need to store up our food. Again, yes, but the point is the ants have little strength and they survive. They get their food. The hyraxes have their homes. They have little power, but you know what? They're okay. They're in their homes in the crags. They make it. They survive. They're good. The locusts, they have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. They work together, and things move, and they do stuff. And the lizards, oh, they're so weak and susceptible, and yet they get into the king's palace. I see them everywhere, Solomon says. Try so hard to no, they can't get in here, and they just get in. They do their thing. And you almost get this idea again of, yeah, these are the things that are extremely wise. Little strength, little power. They have no king. They can be caught with the hand. They're weak. They're susceptible. These are the things that have power. These are the things that they get along. They're just fine. And in fact, it's very reminiscent of Jesus' words over and over. I mean, love your enemies. Serve. Lose your life to gain it. Forgive. The servant king we call Jesus, by the way. The servant king. Jesus is always highlighting the power of weakness, if you will. And the earth trembles. The earth doesn't know. This is not the way it works. Maybe it does. You have this beautiful passage in Isaiah, which we quote often. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. And this is often viewed as a heaven passage, which may be very true. I would also say God is creating a new heaven and a new earth now. And it's our job to be a part of this. And the earth trembles because there's a new earth coming. And the new earth doesn't work that way, where you've got to have all the strength and all the power and the right leaders. The new earth says, not necessarily. That may not be the true strength. That may not be where it's at. So what do we do with that? How would that affect our worldview? Well, if we're in power and we really love our power and we want to hold on to our power with everything we have, that's the group that's probably a little nervous. Kind of like the Pharisees. We've got the power, we've got the strength, we've got the leaders, we've got it all going for us. We're not susceptible and weak. And Jesus says, yeah, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, we'll kill you and prove it. Yeah, go ahead. Guess who's back? I win. I'm serious. I mean, kill me. There's a power in this. There's a power in giving up your life. Talk about an incredible illustration. Oof. Besides the incredible meaning, you've got this most amazing illustration ever of what wins. Now, and if we're on the other side, oh man, because some of us are servants. Not literally, but again, none of this is necessarily literal. This is metaphorical. And we are in a place in society where we feel like we are trapped. I was born into this status. We say, oh, well, not in America. Are you kidding me? Oh, we still have it. I was born here. I don't have these parents. I don't have this money. I don't have this education. I don't have the opportunities to get this or that or this or that. I will never be that. And we say, well, there's a new earth being created. And God is all about this new earth. And we're God's people. So we don't believe that. A godless fool. How many of us say this? Hopefully we don't as much here, but I hear it all the time. Oh, I could never step foot in your church trying. God would strike me with lightning. It's, you know, it's been said a million times. It's, please don't say it. It's not even a funny joke anymore. It's like, no, what? Oh, no, no, trust me. You don't know what I've done. I couldn't even, no way. I'm a godless fool. I will never get to that point where you're at, or where they're at, or where the moral people are. You say, no, I don't know, there's a new earth being created. Trust me, you can get where I'm at and more, and where I'm at is not really even that great anyway. Not just because I'm here, because how I view myself and how God loves me. I mean, that's what it's about. You're there. You can eat. Let's eat. In fact, let's eat together. Contemptible woman. We laugh at it, and yet this is still one of the biggest barriers to church and religion and God. And for some reason, it's always on the woman. But no, you don't know what I've done. Again, you don't know where I've been. I will never stand up here and be married in that beautiful ceremony. Because that's not the way the world works. I made the mistakes that you can't make. I've done the things you can't. That could never happen. No. See, there's a new earth being created. The earth is trembling right now because you will be up here. I mean, Young Lives is all about this. That's why it's one of my favorite ministries. Contemptible woman, please get that out of here. We got no time for that. Your future is as beautiful as anyone's because God is on your side. Let's go. Serve and it will never become a ministry. I mean, it's the same thing again. Well, I'm just stuck in this thing here. I'll never get to. Solomon. He is who he is because of all of these things. Solomon would never be around if it weren't for servants who became kings, godless fools who ate, contemptible women who got married, and servants replacing their mistresses. Or mistresses replacing, yeah, that's right. Whatever it was, got confused. Solomon wouldn't be here. It's a new heaven and a new earth. No need to tremble. That's not the way it's supposed to work. Or, oh gosh, what does that mean for me? Oh, let's just celebrate it. And let people rise to where God wants them to be. Let yourself believe what God wants for you. Let's pray. God, we're constantly bombarded with strength and power. With leaders, with being anything but susceptible. It's often the only message we hear in this earth, in this world. Help us to hear your message. You're just not always about those things. You look at us differently. God, help us to be a people who are not all about the ladders and the hierarchies. And if we are, help us be all about raising people up. God, help us to be satisfied with your love and the way that you view us, and not all these messages of power and strength. We have so much right now. We have you with us. We have you loving us. We have you forgiving. And we have you saying, I find a beauty and a strength in the weak and the humble and the servants. Help us to be those people. Help us to find that is where life is at. And that's where you're at. In Jesus' name, amen.